This is Petey Pidge.
I am Mike.
J-Mac.
Brutal Dudes.
But we're going to talk about video games. The first thing I would like to discuss, however, with you fine people, is what we mean when we say brutal. Now, I'm sure that Webster's definition has some sort of convoluted, long, drawn-out, six-sectioned part to describe brutal. That's not what we're going for.
I'm going to fact-check you as you're speaking this right now. Webster's.com.
But, so for us, it's more what brutal means to us. Brutal, yes, can mean hyper-violent, aggressive, can mean gory and bloody, and that's all part of it. But it's also brutal means, like, man, that's so brutal, or like, that dude's brutal. He does so much cool shit. That's the essence of what brutal dudes are. We're dudes who do cool shit. At least for me, that's what it is.
So according to Merriam-Webster, there are two definitions. The one has five different examples. So you're right. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of sections of it.
I know Merriam.
The second
very well.
Definition, the archaic definition, typical of beasts. I think that's pretty rad.
I think we're pretty beastly.
Or, yeah, like, I can see that.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that we're beasts as in, like, you know, animalistic. I want to say that we're like altered beasts. We're on the fringe of beast. It's like we're skirting the line of beast and human.
So you're talking about video games, and you mentioned altered beasts.
You like what I did
there? Turning into werewolves.
You like what I did there? Yeah, perfect. Buddy.
They also quote John Milton, which is pretty cool on Webster. Y'all can look that up, though. It's pretty, pretty
look
rad.
It up. So with that out of the way, today we're going to discuss video games in depth. And I think the first thing that we should discuss, since we're discussing video games in depth, is what the true definition of a gamer is. Because I do not consider myself a gamer, yet I enjoy video games a great deal. I would never go as far as to consider myself a gamer, however, because I do not dedicate what I feel is the proper time and the proper effort necessary to be a gamer. Now, I know that you two guys, I would consider you gamers. So I would like your opinions on what a gamer actually is.
Do you want to go first, Mike, or do you want me to take it?
I think you got to take it.
All right. So
you're an educator.
Thank you. So. Yeah, yeah.
He's shaping the minds of the nation's youth.
Educator by day, gamer super nerd by night. No, my definition of gamer is like fluid. I don't know, man. I think that if you play video games, you're a gamer. You don't have to be competing. You don't have to be making money off of it. You don't have to be streaming. There are some folks that are like, oh, the moms that are on the sofa playing Candy Crush aren't gamers. It's like, well, no, they're still, like, engaging something and using their mind to solve a puzzle. Like, you know, the same as, you know, someone playing Fortnite, the same as someone playing Elden Ring, the same as someone who boots up Mario 3 for the 100th time and decides to, you know,
I love Mario 3.
Mario 3's rad. Plays through worlds 1 through 1 and world 2 just because they love those.
Tanuki Mario is the best Mario.
Yeah.
Did I say it right?
Tanuki. I thought you said the Dookie. I was like,
the Dookie Mario. That's an unlockable Mario that you guys know about. You have to jump on top of the green thing in level 3-3. Press down as long as you can. You go behind it, and then you hear a loud, almost farting noise, and then he turns into Dookie Mario.
Dookie Mario.
And he yells brutal. It's crazy.
Yeah. No, my definition of gamer is like, it's just someone who plays video games, and like almost everybody plays at some level now. Like, it's not, you know,
it's become part of the culture.
Yeah. And I remember being a kid, like, I have a vivid memory of, like, being in, like, first or second grade when I got my first video game system. It was a Nintendo. It was an NES. And then we were playing Mario 3, and I couldn't figure out something. And this girl in my class was like, oh, you have to get the wing or the leaf or something. The thing that makes you fly.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And she's like, yeah. And then she literally, like, told me, like, we didn't write it down. I didn't have a guide. We didn't have the internet. But, like, she told me where to get it. And so, like, I remembered throughout the rest of the day. This was at lunch. And I went home, and I booted it up, and I tried it. And I was like, oh, crap. yeah, you can fly with the leaf. This is crazy. Just like a whole new world. So, but like, yeah, it's people, gaming and gamers now are cool because they can find their niche. Like you can find something that appeals to you, whether it be like, you know, a point and click adventure with a great story, or a competitive shooter, or soccer with cars that have rocket boosters attached to them.
Like, dude, wrestling games? That's my joint.
I mean,
I fuck wrestling games up. Well,
and especially like the newest wrestling game, the WWE game that came out, like the one before that got so much controversy. And like bad reviews that like I think they switched studios.
Yeah, they fired.
They dumped the studio and like we're gonna go with this studio, and this studio like had to come back like swinging, and they did.
Yo, you played it. You were at my house.
Yeah, dude. It was cool. It was really rad.
I used to I used to play when it was before it was 2K20 or whatever. Mm-hmm. When it was SmackDown versus Raw, and you could first go online with people. I would fight all these British people, because British people are huge wrestling fans, especially on the games, and I would talk so much trash. I was so good, because I was very good, and these British people were good too, but like they would get so pissed, they would just say weird words that I didn't know were trash talking. They'd be like, oi, oi, it's American, man, it's going off, and I'll be like, hey, Brit. I was like, how you doing? How's that rock bottom feel, Dickie? And they used to get so pissed off, but I was like, oh, I was like a grand champion at the fucking wrestling games. But anyway.
That's my definition. I mean, Mike, what do you...
Yeah, I fully agree with that. I think gamer used to mean something different than it means now. I think before it was people who were really intense and competitive with it, not people who played more casual pickup and play kind of things like Candy Crush and mobile games and stuff like that, but people who are really deeply embedded in the culture. Now I think it's anybody, like you said. I think it's just, it's so embedded in our cultural zeitgeist that everybody is a gamer to a certain degree. So I think the definition has changed over time.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
And I think I'm not an advocate for mobile games. I think mobile games are like, they're not doing them right. You know what I mean? Like, mobile games now are this, like, huge cash grab, the pay to win. Like, you want a better character, you know, invest, like, X amount of money. Like, I heard a story the other day. There's a Diablo mobile game out right now. Yeah. And I love Diablo. Like, that was my shit back in the day. I'd spend hours playing that damn game.
It's the first computer game I actually played, like, on a computer.
Yeah, the first one was cool, but then the second one, like, jumping online and, like, the grind and searching for treasure, it was so rad. But this new mobile game, like, there's a guy who, he dropped $100,000 on his character to, like, max him out, and then got pissed because he was so high up that when he tried to match make with other players to either play with or play against, he would sit there for, like, hours and nobody, because he was too high of a level. There's nobody at that level because no one else was willing to invest this amount of money in the game. And then he got pissed and he, like, emailed Blizzard and, like, went, like it became this big story for a moment. And I was just like, man, that sucks. Because it would be really cool if you could have a mobile game that could connect people playing something together, either cooperatively or competitively, that wasn't just, fuck you, pay me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to put it bluntly. That's what it is. So, yeah, there's some potential there, but it's just not... It's kind
of
gross right now.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the mobile games. I tried a couple of them. There was a WWE one for a little bit. It doesn't interest me because I can't. Part of me doesn't get into new games. I need to be. I like franchises. So like one of my favorite games of all time, and I would like to know your guys' like top five favorite games, or just five games that you really enjoy. Mm. Probably my second favorite game of all time, behind any wrestling game, is Dynasty Warriors. I fucking love that game.
Okay.
You ever play it?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like, for those who don't know, you're like in feudal Japan and China, and you're literally a warlord running around riding a horse with different martial arts weapons, just throttling like servants and peasants, trying to take over land and beat these bosses who actually existed in Chinese and Japanese history. And it's the same stories because it's based on history, but they approach it differently each time. And each time you play each game, the level is kind of the same, but what you have to do is more elaborate and more deep. And you have to set boats on fire, and if you don't accomplish the goal, you could still win, but like you, it's tougher to win if you don't do the things you're supposed to do. Set the bomb off in the right spot, you know, put the tar up for the fire, rope off a boat so these people can't get away. And it's just, I love that sort of game. I've played Dynasty Warriors from number 2 to number, I think it's on 11 now, something like that. It's up there.
Yeah.
But I buy them whenever they come out, and it's just amazing how much you can get out of just that one thing. So that's why mobile games don't work for me, because I just can't get into them like that.
There's like a franchise play, and like mobile games want you to have this one game, but like keep at it with new little things they add to it. It's just I can understand that. Do you want to go through your top games, Mike?
Sure. First, not to go cliche with the first one, but probably Mortal Kombat would be at the top for
me. Great game. Yeah.
The first one or any of the variations?
1 and 2.
Yeah.
Would probably be the ones for me. So I remember playing Mortal Kombat when it first came out.
Yeah.
And not to be like the hipster, like I was on this before everybody else, but in the arcade, there was like a P.O. box on the arcade machines early on. So like I wrote to the P.O. box and they sent me like a comic book and a Mortal Kombat newsletter and shit like that.
That's right.
This is like before the game exploded and they were just, you know, not doing that for everybody. But like, and like I still have that shit
That's
that
awesome.
They sent me and everything.
Sick.
And then they put out a soundtrack album to it, which was credited, it's that famous, you know, Mortal Kombat song.
Yeah.
It's credited, I can't remember what they credit the band as, but it's the band Lords of Acid.
Oh, yeah.
This super drug-fueled sex band,
Damn.
Which I have great memories of, being a big fan of. And then convincing, my dad is a pretty conservative Christian, and I wanted to go to a Lords of Acid show because Mortal Kombat and all that other stuff. And I was pretty young. And it was a 21 and over show, but you could get a parent to, like, take you. And so I told my dad, I was like, hey, do you want to go to this Lords of Acid concert? And he's like, what do they sound like? So I played him, like, the Mortal Kombat song and, like, some other soundtrack thing they did. And I was like, that's pretty much it. That's what you can expect from this show. And he goes, sure.
It's not that.
It's great.
I'll take you. So we get to the Lords of Acid show. I can't remember who the opening band was. It was their first ever U.S. tour. What's amazing about it is they've now released a live album of the show we went to.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. So
that's great.
So I keep telling my dad I'm going to buy it for him. At the show, we were offered drugs like left and right. I was like, hey, this is my dad. And they're like, awesome. You guys need some pills?
Jesus.
So I, again, was like, hey, this is my dad. Like, maybe they thought I said something else because they're super fucking
high. They thought you were like, I need a dab.
Yeah.
And you were like, no, this is my dad.
This is my dad.
D-A-D.
My dad is just stone-faced and silent as people are shuffling out of the venue. I was like, hey, I'm going to buy a t-shirt. And he goes, sure. So we're like walking out and I pick, they're all crazy offensive. So I picked the most innocuous shirt that I could find. What I didn't know is it's two-sided.
Oh no.
I didn't see the back of it. So we get into the car and I hold it up and I was like, see, this isn't that bad. And I fold it down and realize on the back of it, it says, I came and I saw and I came.
Damn.
My dad didn't talk to me for like a week. Just nothing. No dialogue between us.
No, my dad was always with
hilarious.
With video games, my dad was always very he wanted me to learn. There was Joust. We used to go to the arcade in the mall and my mom and my sisters would shop. We would go play Joust. And it was like, the truth is, like, I don't really even like the game that much. Like, I kind of didn't like Joust because it was so clunky, the gameplay.
Uh-huh.
Because you just float when you jump, and it just used to piss me off. But, like, the fact that my dad was so into it and would, like, challenge me to Joust, we would play for hours on the same machine, jousting each other, talking shit to each other. Remember, I'm, like, 7. So I don't even know how to talk shit well yet. I was a shy kid when I was a kid. Mm. And my dad was just like, oh, look at that. Knocked your fucking ostrich, huh? And, I mean, we would, like, it was like where I learned to talk shit because it was like safe because it was my dad. So there wasn't, you know, little did I know years later, I would learn that there were things that would offend him that I said, that I did say, that I got, you know, put through walls for, you know, stuff like that. But that time I didn't know any of that stuff yet. So I was able to, like, in a safe space, talk shit to somebody who wasn't going to beat my ass if I, you know, if I crossed the line. So I was very early on learning to talk trash. And my dad, Pete knows my dad. You don't know my dad. I'm going to get him on the show, but my dad is pretty good at talking shit.
Yeah, he's expert level.
My dad's pretty good. He's got an A game, and I, you know, yeah. Not I'm up there now with him, so I can out shit talk him a lot. I've done it a couple of times since, you know, in the past couple of years, but he is not a novice when it comes to that, and it's very fun. And looking back, I learned a lot about that. Like he would always play that, and was always a big advocate of video games for me. Like most, you know, parents are like, go outside, do stuff. My dad was more like, is this what you want to do? Do it. And like Christmas Day, he would like let me come upstairs. Like he would hook up my game systems that I would get, and any new games I got, he would come up and play. So like I remember when I got Maximum Carnage, which is probably my third favorite game of all time. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man Maximum Carnage, he sat and didn't even want to play. He just was like, I'm cool, I'll just watch. And he watched me, you know, we were learning all the moves, and he would like make suggestions and stuff. It was a lot of fun. Like those were good times.
Yeah, I don't, like, I think my parents were like gamers to an extent, but it's funny, I remember getting my Nintendo for, I think it was for Christmas, and my parents let us open everything on Christmas Eve because it was I think my mom had to work Christmas Day. She worked at a deli at the time. So we, like, then that became our family tradition. We just opened our gifts on Christmas Eve because it was just, you know, and then Christmas Day we got to play with everything. And Christmas Day we'd go over to our grandmother's. But, like, yeah, I remember getting that Nintendo and not knowing what it was or what it did, and my parents hooked it up and they were, like, playing some of the games. And then they ended up staying up themselves until, like, 2:30 in the morning playing Dr. Mario. And I was just like, I was never a fan. I mean, Tetris is cool and all. I'm more of a Mean Bean Machine guy when it comes to those kind of games, but like, or Puyo Puyo. But like I remember waking up Christmas morning and my parents didn't get up until like 11:30. I was like, what's going on? They're like, oh, we stayed up till 2:30 in the morning playing Dr. Mario. And I remember that vividly, very vividly, as like a 5-6-year-old being like, whoa. But again, like, yeah, I think my parents had this idea like, oh, I'm not out doing like nefarious things or getting into trouble if I'm staying up till 2 a.m. playing video games as a 17-year-old with my friends. Like, they were fine with us like setting up Halo and doing death matches and getting some pizza and some like soda. And
my dad used to steal my Game Boy because it had Tetris, and when you mentioned Tetris, I forgot this. He fucking loved Tetris.
Yeah.
It was his favorite game. To the point where he stole it so often that for Christmas, we bought him a Game Boy so he could play Tetris. And I remember, he used to steal Mario Tennis off of me. Those were the two games. I had Spider-Man for Game Boy, which is a great game for Game Boy.
Yeah, that was good.
I had a couple of good Game Boy games, but Mario Tennis and Tetris. And then what we would do is when we were driving long distances, we would bring it. And we would go visit my grandma, and then we would play each other. And I was so much better than him at Mario Tennis. But Tetris, nope.
Yeah.
Dad used to whoop my ass at Tetris. Probably could still do it today. Like, whoop my ass at Tetris. I'm talking, like, whooped my, like, you get beating. I don't want to make it sound like he's fucking violent and hyper-violent. I didn't get beatings from my dad very often. But, like, my dad would beat me in things like psychologically, and Tetris was one of those. Like it was like almost establishing his alpha male when I was a kid was like whooping my ass in Tetris. It was like, you're never going to be this good at Tetris. It's the same with guitar. I will never be as good as my dad at guitar, and he knows it. So he always rubs it in, and he constantly would like show it off. Not for any other reason other than to just, I feel like every once in a while, let me know like, this is where you are, this is where I am. Because there were other things that I could do so much better. Like, I used to beat his ass in wrestling games. That was what motivated me to learn how to do wrestling games really good, is because he would want to play me. And then we created his guy, which was like a trash man, because he was a trash man at the time. And we would call him, he was the big Kahuna, which ended up translating into his email name, which is Kahuna Mac. And then, which translated into when me and Pete went with him to Cleveland, to Big Chief Thunderfuck. Should I tell the story real quick? Should I tell the Thunder Fox story?
I mean, let me do it because it's my favorite story. We went to Cleveland. We went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We went to see the Cleveland Indians team. Well, not the Cleveland Indians anymore. I can't remember what they are. They're like the Guardians.
But we went to the Hall of Fame, too, football.
And right next to the stadium is like a burial ground where like the mascot for the Native American chief is buried. And his like grave site is like a big slab, and at one point like the slab like shattered in half, and they said it happened during like a thunderstorm, and there's this like lore behind it and it's whatever.
Like a ghost that haunts the stadium.
Yeah. And like his dad was just like, ah, this is just some bullshit.
Me and Pete were totally.
Yeah, it was cool. Like, oh, that's a weird fucking story. Yeah. He's like, ah, it's just some bullshit. Let's go. Let's leave because we were like trying to get back on the road. And I was like, Whoa, calm down, Big Chief Thunderfuck. What's the problem? Yeah. And he's just like, what? It's just kind of like, I'm like, so the rest of the trip, Big Chief Thunderfuck. And even now,
I have him in my
phone. I just call him Big Chief.
I have him in my phone as Big Chief Thunderfuck. Big Chief. Like, and the best part is now that you have voice recognition, it says, I have to say, call Big Chief Thunderfuck. and then the girl repeats it, and she's like, calling Big Chief Thunderfuck.
Pretty great. Very nice. Back to video games. Mortal Kombat, is there any others that are, like, top tier for you that, like, I mean, you mentioned top five, but just...
Five is just a number. I mean, some
of them are obvious things. Doom is a huge one for me. NBA Jam, which you and I were kind of talking about.
Oh, so good.
It's funny you mentioned, dude, like,
which Tournament Edition? I love Tournament Edition. It had all the unlockable characters.
Yeah. And it's funny because you were saying about, like, your parents and video games. I don't think my parents were interested or disinterested in me playing video games. I just think it was a thing and they didn't really care for it one way or the other. My dad would have loved for me to be involved in sports. And because I got into music, for my dad, creative stuff is just, it doesn't make sense to him. Like, that's just the kind of guy that he is. Like, sports is something he can wrap his head around. Mm-hmm. Now, I think he gets into the music stuff because he can see it. Like, he can come out to shows and, like, show people stuff on Spotify. And, like, we go on the road and there's articles about it. And, like, it's a physical, tangible thing. Yeah. But the idea of, like, all right, I'm going to take this guitar and go upstairs and write a song. Like, I might as well just be like, I'm going to go fuck a unicorn.
I'm going to go finger bang a leprechaun upstairs, Dad. Is that cool?
Yeah. So, like,
it's just Cheetos.
I'm just saying, like, insane made up bullshit to him. Like, it's just something he can't wrap his head around. So it is funny, though, because as we were kind of talking earlier, I was in NBA Jam tournaments as a kid,
so cool.
Playing those, and cool he shit. Got into that because that was like a competitive thing that he could wrap his head around.
And sports adjacent.
Yeah, it's sort of sports adjacent. Yeah. It's a competitive thing. Like, that's something he can understand.
Madden 93 for Sega.
Whoa.
My dad would challenge all comers. Again, probably could whoop their asses today, but that was before Madden really, really took off. It was like the last one before they just started shoveling money into Madden.
Yep. Mm.
And I remember my dad used to challenge, I mean, would take all comers, like my cousins, my uncles, my friends, they would challenge him. And we would sit in my room and watch him play, and he would whoop everyone's ass. Like, he beat people's ass in Madden 93. I totally forgot that he had this obsession to the point where, like, he had to replace the game because we played it so much that it wore out the thing. And he was like, oh, we got to replace this. And, and he was like, and we went out and got the one. Remember, it had a little yellow tab on it?
Yep.
We had to get that one because we, and then he was like, this. And then every successive year up to like 2001, we bought Madden and we would play Madden. But then as it got more complicated, that was when he sort of dipped off. So like we would play like Monday Night Raw, and there was actually a training room for the Raw video game, and my dad challenged my cousin Chris, and for like months my dad was like Rocky style training. He would come home from work, eat dinner, and then he would sit for an hour and practice punches and practice like the basic moves. It took him so long to train that we lost interest in the fucking fight, and then when by the time we fought him, my cousin Chris still beat the shit out of him because we used to play it all the time.
Right. Yeah.
And we were way more, we picked it up a lot quicker, but man, I remember he would train and he would come in and my little sister would sit there and Michelle, and she would like watch him, and like then she would play, and she was, you know, she picked it up better. But yeah, that was when we lost it. But yeah, dude, he was, my dad was the opposite of your dad. My dad would have done was more, he, whatever you were passionate about, he would try and be passionate about. Mm. And if he didn't get it, he would make fun of you for it. But it wasn't like a make fun of you, like, you shouldn't do this. It was a make fun of you, like, you're a fucking nerd. You know what I mean? Like, if I like Metallica and he didn't like Metallica, he'd go like, He'd be like, oh, yeah, you're going to listen to Metallica? You know what I mean? Like, and do something like that.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, yeah, they're great. They're great.
Oh, God. That reminded me of a story about my dad where, like, we went to, like, an FYE or some shit, and I bought, it wasn't even my first CD, but I bought, like, a couple CDs that I was into. And one was Mastodon. And I, you know, it was that first album with, like, the Dying Horse. It was a Remission, I think it was. And my dad saw the album cover. And my dad is like, my dad loves all, he big Beatles guy, big Zeppelin guy, but also super into like Iron Maiden and Billy Idol. Like really loves like the 80s hair metal. A little bit of Motley Crue. Dad does too. Not into like Slayer or Pantera, but like, yeah, but like the Van Halen. Loves Van Halen.
My dad was into Bowie too.
Yeah. And so like he saw the album cover and he's like, whoa, what's that? And I'm like, oh, I don't think you'd like these guys, Dad. Because I downloaded them off of, like, Huzzah or LimeWire or whatever it was. And he's like, try me. So we put it into the car CD player. And I'm playing, like, March of the Fire Ants. We get, like, a minute and a half in, and he just hits the eject button. He's like, you're right. And he hands it back to me.
Correct.
And I'm like, I told you. He's like, yeah, not for me. And I'm like, it really picks up. And he's just like, I can't even understand him. And I was like, you don't need to. You just listen to him. Meanwhile, can't understand him. Guy loves fucking Rammstein. Loves Rammstein, thinks they're amazing. I'm like, you can't even understand these guys. He's like, but your mother can, and she can tell me what they're saying. My mom can speak and understand German. She's like, she can tell me what they're saying.
Bring your parents to the Rammstein concert.
Oh my, dude, my dad got so jealous. He didn't know we were going because we're going. We got tickets. We're going 31st, and in Philly.
Like
two years in the making because of COVID, and then the lead singer got real sick. And like, I went to visit my family like last month, and I'm like, yeah, we're going to Rammstein at the end of August. You know, my brother's coming down. He's like, what? You guys are going to Rammstein? I was like, yeah. Like, you want to go? And he's like, no, but take some video, man. I want to see that shit. I'm like, dude, it's going to be great. He's like, I'm so jealous. That's crazy. Meanwhile, he's like 74-year-old man. Like,
pisses out of a fire hose. Like, that's supposed to be like a fake dick. That's what he did at Family Values when they were at Family Values.
Right? Oh, yeah. They have a fire zone in the pit area. That's like, you could pay for the extra money for the fire zone. But that's just your story about that. Like, reminded me, like, oh, my dad's like, nope, don't like this shit.
Never had anything like that for music, at least.
Any other, like, games that spark joy?
So, I mean, those would be the big ones. And then I get into, like, weird, more horror-adjacent kind of shit, because that's who I am. So, like, the Splatterhouse games.
Fucking love. Did I not?
You were
you here when I said it?
No, you mentioned
that's like
it.
That's like one of my favorite games of all time that no one talks about.
I love the Splatterhouse
Such
games.
Such a great concept. Yeah. You're a fucking serial killer with a fucking chainsaw and you gotta save the world.
Yeah, I love the Splatterhouse games.
How about the remake? Did you like the remake?
Not as much as the original games. I did play it, but Splatterhouse 3 was my favorite. I don't know if you remember that
Super
one.
Super good.
Yeah, that was my favorite of the originals.
Dude, Splatterhouse was so great.
Time Killers, did you remember that game?
I never played it, but I know
what
you're
talking
about.
Wait, Time Killers or Time Splitters?
Time Killers.
Splitters, I never played Time Killers. Too.
Imagine, like, a horror Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Oh, sick.
That's kind of what it was. And what was cool about it, it's a fighting game, and what was cool about it is you could dismember opponents while you're playing. And it was a weapons-based game. So
footage of this.
Let's just say, you know, we're both, you know, players, and your fighter holds his weapon in his right hand. You can cut their right arm off.
That's awesome.
Crazy.
And the match will still continue, but now they don't have an arm, and they don't have one of their weapons.
That's wild. That's
awesome. If you can decapitate them, the game is over right away.
It's so crazy.
Yeah. So, stuff like that.
Like Tomb Raider.
Getting into more, like, horror-adjacent stuff I always liked. There's a game called Fatal Frame.
Fatal Frame is great.
Always wanted
Fatal
to
Frame.
Play
so
that.
More like horror oriented stuff once you get past, again, like the Mortal Kombat, Doom, NBA Jam, which are all huge games.
I remember when the first Resident Evil came out, my friend Bill had hit pins in his hip. And I was always better at being, Pete, you know this because we played games together.
Yeah.
I'm always better at being a navigator than I am at actually driving. Like, I'll be the thinker that remembers the fucking shit and I'll let other people play, but I love being that guy. Like, no, remember that back in the fucking, in the room 3 with the Venus flytrap plant? Mm-hmm. So we used to spend hours playing Resident Evil and Silent Hill. We used to play all the time.
Silent Hill's another one I like.
Me and my friend Bill.
Have you tried, speaking of horror, have you tried like Outlast?
No.
Okay. It's newer. It's one of those games where like, I mean, I jumped into it. It's very much like you're exploring an old asylum and there's still like shit going down there, but you're like a journalist with a camera and that's it. You don't have any weapons. So it's, you're essentially running. And there's some jump scares, which isn't really my jam, but like...
Well, that's similar to Fatal Frame, if you're...
Oh, yeah.
Those. Oh, yeah, because the ghosts, yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah, you have no weapons.
You have to take the picture.
Yeah.
You just, you're taking pictures of them, yeah.
Fatal Frame is the shit.
So there are some newer... And there's some interesting horror things coming out that, like... There's one that looks very similar to, like, Dead Space, but it's not. Yeah, there's some... Yeah.
I can't wait for the Midnight Suns, the Marvel game. That game looks horrible. Or Midnight... What's it called?
No, it is Midnight Suns.
Dark. Yeah. Is it Midnight Suns?
Yeah, Midnight Suns.
It's like Wolverine, Iron Man, Doctor Strange, Spider-Man... Ghost Rider. They're like the darker Marvel characters. They have to fight Dracula's wife, right?
I think so.
Lilith?
Yeah, I don't know.
In the Marvel universe, but it's like not based on the movies, but it's like you get to be these badass guys that form a team to fight this fucking vampire. I'm like, this is going to be a fucking great game.
Nice.
Also, if you haven't played any of the newer Dooms, like the 2016 or Doom Eternal,
have you checked those out? No, yeah.
Like, masterpiece. Like, the soundtrack alone on Doom is unreal. And then Doom Eternal, like, the guy, there's a YouTube video. I'm going to see if I can send it to you. The sound designer hired, they're out of, like, Texas, but he put out, a Facebook ad for, like, metal band singers. And he got, like 60 people. Like men, women. And they just, like, they said, we want you guys to scream. And they set up a room with, like, 4 microphones. So they had 60 people screaming in their scream to, like, add into the video games. Like, it's an opera of metal. It's nice. Insane. It's an insane concept, but it works so well. Yeah. So, honestly, that I don't think that would be at the top. But, like, Doom is amazing to me. I loved... I got introduced to Doom with Doom 64, which isn't the best of the series, but then I, like, went back and
I do
played.
Like Doom 64,
though. I thought it was cool, especially with the dual chainsaw. I was like, this is wild. Love Doom, and I love, like, Doom. The new Doom 2016 and Doom Eternal are, like, masterpieces. They're so good. They're, like, yeah, they're amazing. I think, for me, though, the top of my list for games would have to be, I love...
Gears of War?
It was my favorite for a long time, but then,
when
like...
When I first met you, Gears of War was
yeah,
your fucking...
And I have I have 3 tattoos. They're all video game related. I have the Gears of War cog sign on my back. Yeah. I got that before I moved out here. And I was
I would
a big
never
fan.
Never my body like that. I'm covered in tattoos.
I know. I mean, you're in a.
I have none.
You have no tattoos.
No tattoos.
I mean, I got the one before I moved out here, and then I kind of like waited, and then I have the bonfire from Dark Souls, and that would definitely be on my arm, and that would definitely be like my favorite series, like Elden Ring, Dark Souls. I haven't played Sekiro or Bloodborne. But those games are so difficult and so like challenging but when you beat that challenge, it's just like the holy shit, I can do anything feeling. It's amazing. And so complicated. And yeah, I had to beat the first one by like looking up a guide online. That would be my top. And then I would think
Mega Man.
I love Mega Man. He'd be like number 5.
I was going to say that. I feel like he would be number 5 for you.
Absolutely love Mega Man. That was something
I do like the Mega Man games.
They're just so fun. Yeah. Like,
and my brother and I like I'd beat a boss and then I'd pass the controller and he'd beat the next boss and then pass the controller. It was something that we could play cooperatively that wasn't necessarily co-op. That and Contra was a big...
Oh, that's the other one. Yeah. My dad used to play all the time.
My brother and I would play...
Contra.
Like, and we'd be like... It'd be that funny because like, we'd have beaten Contra like a week ago. And I'd be like, you want to jump in and play Contra? And he's like, yeah, let's play Contra. Let's see if we can beat it in like 5 lives. Like, all right. Yeah, I think definitely top would be like the Souls series, Elden Ring, things like that. Diablo 2 would probably be number 2. I played it so much, and then they had the remastered version. I jumped back into that and like played that with my brother. This time, like, you know, we actually got to play together because instead of sharing a computer and sharing an account, we got to play that together. It was cool. I think, yeah, I mean, Gears of War would definitely be maybe number 4, and I think number 3 would be like Elder Scrolls. Like Morrowind was a game I sunk a lot of time into. Oblivion sunk a lot of time into. Skyrim sunk a lot of time into. Haven't lately because I'm just kind of like, like you can only restart Skyrim so many times. But yeah, those are some of my top games. And I guess I just really like that whole getting immersed and exploring and that story. I mean, as long as it's a good story and it's entertaining and gripping and challenging, like, I'm there for it. I love that. I mean, I also do love to shoot things and kill things and competitive. My competitive game right now is Apex Legends. I love it. And I love how Battle Royale is, like, now a game mode. It should have been a game mode from, like, jump. Like, there should have been a Battle Royale game on, like, PS2.
Oh, I can't believe that this made me think of it. Definitely in my top five, Manhunt.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Oh, yeah.
The second one is considered the most unnecessarily violent game of all time.
I only got to rent it. I rented it for like a week, and I was like, this game's crazy, and then I just never went out and bought it.
Yeah, Manhunt would definitely be on that list for me.
So for me, I was more... Console games were good, but I didn't really like console games as much until I was older, and I was more of an introvert, because I always spent time playing games with people. So, like, another thing that my dad used to do is there used to be this place up by us in Levittown called Sportland. It was near Oxford Valley, and they had arcade games. I sunk hours, me and my cousin Chris, into the Simpsons co-op game.
Such a good game.
Such a good game. The X-Men game, the co-op X-Men game.
The six-player?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My cousin Chris, shout out Chris, has this uncanny ability to mimic... He's not a voice mimic because he doesn't do voices great, but there are certain voices and certain sounds that he can do. I'm talking perfect. He can recite Pee-wee's Big Adventure, opening salvo music to closing credits, and do the mouth music, like, and all the dialogue in between, because he's seen the movie so many times. It's like his favorite movie of all time.
Damn.
He was able to do... He can also do Vince McMahon saying you're fired. That is legitimate. I'm trying to get him to do it for my phone so I can have it as my message tone. Because it sounds so much like him. It's so good. The other thing he used to do was he used to be able to do Colossus's scream from that game. And I don't know if you remember how it goes, but it's like...
Yeah.
And he was just... Yep. He could do it, and he would do it at just the worst... Not even the worst times, just you would least expect it. And I would... Whatever was going on, I would spit my food out, just because it was so fucking hilarious when he would do this. And he used to do it all the time after we played that game. Because that's what would end up happening. We never beat the game, but we would always, like, do the mutant moves once we would start losing to the bad guys, and then run all our life out. Because whenever you use Wolverine's, like, Berserker Rage, it's like, you get down to, like, no life, so then you have to just dodge everything.
Yep.
We would never beat it, but it was we had a blast playing it. My dad used to like Mutant League Football too. I never really got into playing that, but that was like one of his favorite games he would play by himself.
Yeah.
My friend Jeremy and I used to play Big Game Hunter. That game is, I don't even like hunting, and that game is fun as shit to play. We would get so competitive. We'd be at the casino and everybody would be like, let's gamble. And we're like, no, we're playing fucking Big Game Hunter, dude. Leave us alone.
But Mike and I were talking about this. Like, we're both, I mean, I don't mind sports, but I'm not like this. I don't buy, like, NHL, Madden, FIFA, none of that stuff. Like, it's not for me. But, like, the sports games that are sport-adjacent, Mutant League Football, NHL Hits, NFL Blitz.
I never liked the NHL games, but NBA Street.
NBA Street was the successor to...
Yeah. But you could play it, like, Rucker Park.
Yeah.
I love that, dude. I used to love that one. I used to like... another good sports game that I loved was Knockout Kings. When it first came out.
Boxing game?
Yeah.
Does Ninja Golf count as a sports game?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
100%.
Does Tony Hawk's Pro Skater count as a sports game?
Absolutely, dude. All the Tony Hawks. I used to rock Tony Hawks. My little sister and I used to play Cool Borders. She used to play SSX. She liked SSX.
Yeah.
But I liked Cool Borders, and I had Cool Borders 3. When we first started playing games, she would come upstairs and always want to play Cool Borders. She loved that game. Also, she loved Sneaking.
From Burger King.
Yes.
Shut up.
We fucking love that game. I said, this game is great. Like, you literally are just giving people burgers.
That's hilarious.
Greatest thing ever. We would play Frogger for PlayStation. That was another one we used to play all the time. The first PlayStation. I love any Spider-Man game.
That you were talking about, like, beat-em-up games. I feel like, because co-op games are big with, like, my brother and I. Shout out to Patrick. Like, I love beat-em-up games, and I feel like they're having a resurgence, and I hope it just keeps up,
dude,
man.
Like, another one me and my dad used to kill all the time, Rampage.
Yeah.
We used to play Rampage. Like, great. Fucking
crazy. It's an awesome game. But, like, they had River City Girls come out, which is, like supposed to be... I loved it. I thought the game was cool and the animations were great. Streets of Rage 4 was clutch.
Streets of Rage,
game was
dude.
Sick. And then the new Turtles.
Coco did work on it.
That's great.
And he was... Or he knew it was coming out, and he texted me. He's like, you gotta play this game. It's so good. Streets of Rage 4 is so good.
It's so good. And then the new Turtles game is rad as fuck. It's awesome.
Do you remember,
awesome.
Do you remember Tenchu? Stealth Assassins?
I never played it.
So everyone loves Metal Gear Solid because of the sneaking around parts. Yeah. This game was so much better.
Yeah,
you're a ninja in feudal Japan, and you get to sneak up on people by like using grappling hooks and running along the walls, and then waiting until they don't see you, and then jumping down, and you get to ninja kill them. And the more elaborate you do the buttons, the more ninja kill you get. So like you can impale them on your sword. Or, like, slit their throat so they can't talk. You have to infiltrate these different things and, like, do ninja assassin stuff. There was, like, 3 or 4 of them. The second one was great because it allowed you to do more moves. And you got a female ninja, which was, like, a crazy thing because there's not many games that have the female ninja. But then the third one, I don't think I played because they did it for PS2. Mm. And these were all for PS1 where the original games. Those games were fucking... It was, like, Ninja Gaiden with... Like Metal Gear Stealth, but it was like so cool. Like I spent hours on those games. That and Final Fantasy VII, we used to fucking play.
That's
like crazy.
I mean, yeah, Final Fantasy is a classic.
My cousin Chris, like, legitimately was the dude. I don't know if he was the only dude that found it out, but figured out that like if you leave the controller on and you just tape down the B button overnight, you can max your stats out. To like 99 because it'll fight in that open world where you won't die, where you're just fighting little guys, like little bad guys. If you do it and then you wake up the next morning and then save it, your guy is at level 99 and you can just walk through the entire game. I don't know if somebody told him that. I don't know if he figured it out on his own or he just thought of it. But I remember he had the strategy guide. He borrowed the game off me for like 2 months and just beat it on his own. Like, and he did all the crazy shit, like bred the chocobos to be able to go into the secret fucking thing to get the what's the
Knights of the Round?
Knights of the Round. Yep. He got that like it was nothing. Like, he wasn't. He's absolutely not a gamer. Like, we used to play games, but he's not a gamer.
He's achievement hunting.
Yeah, but he just, when he got into that game, he went full on, and he did it. Breeze through it. Like everyone else I know is like, dude, I can't fucking figure out how to do these chokeboats. I can't do it. He's like,
that's
nah, I got it.
That's hacking before like hacking was a thing. Taping down the B button.
he's like, nah, I got it. Before he even did that though, like he would just figure this shit out so quickly. And I'm like, this took me like 4 hours to figure out. And just crazy shit like that he would do all the time. He would like, that was his game quality. But he loved Mortal Kombat. He had Super Nintendo, I had Sega, so we had both systems. Mm-hmm. We used to play the other game that we used to play all the time that we were stumped on. I remember one night we stayed up to like 4 a.m. He brought his Super Nintendo over and we played Scooby Doo. And for Super Nintendo, and I know that sounds ridiculous. There's two levels. That's it. But you have to do so much elaborate shit to get to the end of these levels, and there's very little to help you figure it out. Like, so,
it's a mystery.
For instance, at one point,
did the Harlem Globetrotters
like,
come out?
No, I wish. Dude, if Batman and Robin jumped in, I would freak out.
Kiss,
but or Kiss, yeah. So
Kiss, yeah. Oh so my god, like, I forgot about that one.
So they walk out. and like you have to find an acid to give to the cook. So the cook will leave so you can go behind the counter to get a key for the shed in the backyard that opens up the shed so you can get a garden hoe so you can dig something up. Like, that's how elaborate this shit is. And you have to figure it all out. And there's two levels. There's one in a hotel and one at a fucking carnival. And I'm telling you, we didn't beat either one. And we spent days playing this game. Like, stopping for food, even just bringing the food up. And I remember one weekend we said we're playing this until we beat this level, and we did not beat this level. We got so frustrated that we stopped and decided to play wrestling just to get our heads off of it because we couldn't figure it out. But man, I'm telling you,
that reminds me of like the original Friday the 13th game for Nintendo.
Yeah. Oh my god,
everybody
yeah.
shits on that game and says like, oh, the game's broken and it's terrible. It's not that. It's just, again, it's weirdly intricate, the shit you need to do.
Yeah.
And there's nothing in the instructions that explain that to you. So now people are kind of coming around to it because there's fan-made, you know, guides and shit. And they're like, yeah, you're supposed to do this, this, and this. Well, you would have had no fucking idea that you were supposed to do that when you originally played it, because there's no internet.
There was a lot. Nobody to tell there was you. A lot or, of original Nintendo and you games.
Might,
that
yeah.
Were like,
yeah, you might not have even had like Nintendo Power to tell you like how to do it. Like, I don't even know if there was an article in Nintendo Power about that Friday the 13th game. I had it. It scared the shit out of me as a kid. Because, like, I don't know, Jason Voorhees scared the shit out of me as a kid for some reason. I think I love the movies now and I appreciate them. But, like, as a kid, I was just, like, I don't know, frightened. Mm. And when he would just appear randomly, I'd be like, "Ah!" and, like, die. Like, I just, or, like, when he'd appear in a cabin and you're just, like, he's, like, swinging down at you. You're like, shit. I did, however, like, somehow, I killed the mom head when I was a kid. I got into the cave. And I had the fucking candle, and I set the mom's head on fire. So I don't know. There's a weird thing you got to do.
Yeah, you got to pick up all these different items in a certain order. And you but there was nothing to explain that.
Oh, yeah.
So most people at the time were like, the game fucking sucks.
Legend of Zelda. You couldn't do anything. The fucking Link. I spent hours on Link and just running around the same three fucking castles.
My dad, for The Legend of Zelda, the first one, he loved that fucking game. But he took the back of a legal pad, the cardboard, and he built a map of Hyrule. So he he built his own map before you could go and look it up or, like, buy a strategy guide. Mm. And then, like, he beat the game. He's like, I beat it. I beat Zelda. Check it out. And then he's like, we watched him beat Zelda, the first one, the one on NES. And they're like, oh, sick. And then it's like, oh, but now you're back in Hyrule. And it's, like, a new map. And he's just like, what the fuck? Like, and so he attempted to make a second map. And then he just, like, he got, like, to, like, the third dungeon. And he's just like, I'm fucking done. I'm not doing this. I'm done. He also would make, do you remember the little games of chance in Mario 3 where you had to flip over the cards? Mm. He made a note sheet of the memory game so that we could nail them. And there was only like three different memory games in Mario 3. So we would like, we'd turn one card and be like, okay, it's this one on the sheet. And we'd ace it in one shot. So then we'd had like an inventory full of items to go and beat the game.
Nice.
Like my dad would just do shit like that.